The following is a home program on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 8, 2009, in Strathfield, Australia.
So today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, text number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Satatam Kirtayanto Mam.
Satatam Kirtayanto Mam.
Yatantascha Vridhavrata.
Yatantascha Vridhavrata.
Namasyantascha Mam Bhaktya.
Namasyantascha Mam Bhaktya.
Nityayukta Upasate.
Nityayukta Upasate.
Satatam Kirtayanto Mam.
Satam kirtayam toma.
Yatantascha vridhavrata.
Yatantascha vridhavrata.
Namashantascha mam vakya.
Namashantascha mam vakya.
Nitya yukta upasate.
Nitya yukta upasate.
Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastime. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of God. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as a Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, and smananam, remembering Him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental lessons. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, the Kadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatma's great souls strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service guided by an expert spiritual master. And in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or as a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma. A great soul. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raguna Tandam Sajiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha So, here we are in Australia. Is there any hope for so far away from the holy places? Yes. Prabhupada is giving all hope. Doesn't matter where you are. If you will take shelter of this process of chanting the holy names of God, then you can become Mahatma. You can become a qualified person for entering into the transcendental world. That is the great power of Krishna's holy name. The holy name must be powerful. Do you know why? The holy name must be powerful. Because it is Krishna. You must have faith. The holy name is Krishna. Krishna is all powerful. He is the source of everything. We experience powerful things in this world. It's like you get on the airplane and it takes off. There's so much power to lift that airplane off the ground. But that's nothing compared to the power of Krishna. Krishna has great, great power, unlimited power. No one can equally excel Krishna in power. So all the power of Krishna is fully there in his name also. So just imagine how powerful is the name of Krishna. All the power which brings all the universes into existence, which sustains, maintains, and even annihilates them at the time of the cosmic destruction. All of that power is there in the holy name. Just imagine how powerful it is. We think, well, an atom, you know, a hydrogen bomb is very powerful. But just imagine a bomb that could blow up the whole universe. The holy name has that much power. The holy name is more powerful than the Brahmastra weapon. The Brahmastra weapon can annihilate a planet, but can it destroy the anartas in the heart? No, it cannot. So the holy name is more powerful than Brahmastra weapon. So we cannot overstate the importance of the holy name. We hear so many statements that, well, you know, I can't chant 16 rounds. I mean, it takes too long. You know. One gentleman said, well, I'll say the mantra 5 times. One round is too much for me. I will say the mantra 5 times. One for each Pandava brother. I don't know, why 5? Maybe one for each finger on his hand. I don't know. That way you can count his mantras easily. You know. Hare Krishna mantra once and twice. There, there's my, it's my daily quota. 5 mantras every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the difficulty? I mean, we don't like Krishna. We don't want to associate with Krishna. I mean, the holy name is Krishna himself. If Krishna came to your door, would you say, well, you know, you can stay for 5 seconds. Then you can go away, you know. Would we say that to Krishna if he came to our door? My Lord, you're most welcome. For as long as it takes me to say 5 Mahamantras and get out. Would we do that? Or we invite Krishna to live with us. My dear Lord, this house is yours. Come on in. I'll be your servant. We'll give you the best room, the best food, everything. We will give a full facility. You see. Would you do that if Krishna came to your door? Well, Krishna has come to your door. Nama avatar has appeared. You see. So how much service are you giving to Nama avatar? How many here are chanting 16 rounds? Just raise your hand. Go ahead. Very good. Those who are not, why are you not giving full hospitality to the Lord? Why are you not giving full hospitality? Krishna has come. You're not welcoming Him? I challenge you. Consider these points. Krishna says, well, 16 rounds is just too much, Prabhu. I can't do that. Satatam kirtayantam mam. Krishna says you should constantly chant. Prabhupada has given us a concession because we have to go to work, we have to go to school, we have to wash the dishes. So he said, okay, 16 rounds. For the mercy of the pure devotee, if we can chant 16 rounds, we get the benefit of satatam kirtayantam. But if we don't chant 16 rounds, where are we? Nowheresville. Almost nowheresville. There's some hope. I mean, you can increase, at least at the beginning, you let Krishna get his foot in the door. I mean, at least that much was there. That's good. We encourage you. That's very good, you're chanting. But you haven't let, until you actually chant 16 rounds, Krishna's still standing at your door trying to get his foot in the door, and that's about it. When you come to 16, then you said, my Lord, come on in. You're welcome in my house. Come on in and live here, you see. So this 16 rounds is very important. How many times has Prabhupada mentioned 16 rounds in his books? Have you counted in the Veda base? How many times he's mentioned 16 rounds in his teaching? Again and again and again. And what is the vow taken at initiation? When I initiate new disciples, what do I say? How many rounds will you chant every day? And they have to say at least 16 rounds. They say, sorry, I won't initiate you. If I'm going to initiate a new disciple, they have to agree to chant at least 16 rounds every day. Why 16? How many of you have mobile phones in Seashore? Mobile phone carriers. Practically everybody, the kids, everybody has a mobile phone. Now, do you charge your mobile phone before you leave the house, or you go with it almost empty? I mean, what would be the problem if you went out without your mobile phone fully charged? That important phone call comes, you know, that job offer, or, you know, you just won the lottery or whatever, you know. We don't gamble, this is an example. And your phone goes dead. Oh, my goodness, this important call, the phone went dead. That would be a horrible predicament. And the most important call came and your phone went dead. Oh, my goodness. So therefore, you fully charge your battery before you leave the house. You don't want to miss that important phone call. You got a flat tire out on the freeway and you need some help, somebody to bring out. You know, you don't know how to change a tire. An important emergency phone call and your phone went dead. Oh, my. You see? So, if you're going to... Why would you treat your mobile phone with more love and with more love than you treat your own consciousness? That's my question. Those who are not chanting 16 rounds, you're fully charging your mobile phone battery. That's a fact. So why are you being more kind to your mobile phone than you are to your own consciousness, your own spiritual life? That's what I can't understand. Why would you give more love to a material mobile phone than you do to your own soul? You see what I'm saying? You got my point? You're giving more value to your mobile phone than to your own eternal soul. You understand? It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense. Sixteen rounds, in case you wondered, is the minimum amount of heart consciousness charge that'll make it through 24 hours a day. That's why Papa said 16 and no less. You see, that's the amount of spiritual energy charge you need to keep yourself afloat for 24 hours a day. That's why Papa said 16 rounds. Anything less and less, you don't have a charge that'll make it for 24 hours. You know, you'll make it through the morning. I chant my rounds, and I leg it through the morning. But then by the afternoon, my getting weak, and then the material nature, you know, my mind gets carried away by the material nature. Indriyanam hi charatam yamano nuvadiyate tatasharati pragyam vayar navamivambasi. As a boat on the water is carried away by a strong wind, even one of the senses on which the mind focuses can do what? Carry away a man's intelligence. So it's very, very important that we chant these 16 rounds, at least every day. Because that gives us the potency, the power, the shakti to keep our mind fixed in Krishna consciousness. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam ashtaram tatastato niyam yaitar Atman-eva-nusham-naya. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly do what? Withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So by this chanting at least 16 rounds every day, you will become a powerful yogi. A yogi means one. The real meaning of yogi is somebody who can keep his mind under control. He never loses control of his mind, even in the midst of traumatic circumstances. He keeps his cool. He's cool. A yogi's cool. He's got a cool. He keeps his head cool, even in very adverse situations. He never loses his cool. That is yogi. So there are different yoga systems we were discussing in our previous lecture. There are different yoga systems. But this bhakti yoga system, it is the easiest, most practical means of keeping the mind controlled. How does one do that, and why is Bhakti Yoga superior to the Ashtanga system, where you mechanically bring your mind under control through breathing exercises and asanas? Why is this superior? Because the Bhakti Yoga system is not mechanical. It's based on love. I remember I took a training course in the other yoga system. And the teacher said, okay, here's your yoga exercise. Light a candle and sit and stare at the candle. I was supposed to learn, that was supposed to teach you mind control, you see. But let me ask you, how attractive is a candle? That it can completely satisfy your mind for all of eternity. If I told you, okay, now here's for all of eternity, now you will sit, we will tie your head in such a way you can't move, and all you can do is see this candle for all of eternity. Would you be all excited? Oh, wow, I get to sit and look at a candle for all of eternity. Would you get bored after a while looking at a candle? How about you? If I had you looking at a candle for 10 hours, would you get tired of it after a while, you think? What do you think? You get tired of it. After 10 minutes, get me out of here. I'm tired of looking at this stupid candle, you know? So this yoga system is like that. That's what the yogi had me do. Sit and stare at a candle. You know what I did? I took the candle and I lit the lessons. I burned all the lessons he sent me with the candle. So this is a good... I realized this is ridiculous. I just took the candle and I burned all the lessons. And then I found Prabhupada eventually, you know. He taught me a different technique of yoga. He taught me that if you love the object of your meditation, if you have a loving relationship with a loving person, you see, a loving relationship with a loving person never gets old. It never gets boring. It becomes deeper, sweeter, richer, and more wonderful over the course of time. You see, we have experience in this world, you see. If you have a happy marriage, it becomes sweeter and sweeter over the years, you see. You have a friendship with someone, it becomes sweeter and nicer over the years. It doesn't get boring, it becomes more interesting, more exciting, more enlivening, you see. So in Bhakti Yoga, you understand the supreme object of meditation is a person. He's the most lovable, amazing person. He has all power, all beauty, all renunciation, all knowledge, all wealth, and all things. Every attractive quality that attracts people to other people in this world, all of those qualities are in that Supreme Person to an unlimited degree. Nobody is as powerful as Krishna, as beautiful as Krishna, as renounced as Krishna, as knowledgeable, as wealthy, or as famous as that amazing cowherd boy who wears the yellow dhoti, a peacock feather in his hair, and stands on the bank of the river Jamuna in the moonlit night of the Sharad season, playing the fifth note on his flute. Nobody can compete with him. In this world, when I was a kid, everybody thought the Beatles were it, you know. That was it. Beatlemania, you know. The girls, especially. You know. They really went wild over the Beatles. I remember coming home from high school on the bus, you know, with all the girls sitting around. Now, that's all they talked about. Well, which one do you like best? I like John. No, I like George. That was all you could hear. It was Beatle Kata, you know. But in the spiritual world, you see, you think Beatlemania was something. Of course, you all didn't experience like we did. The Beatlemania was nothing compared to the Krishna mania that goes on in Goloka Vrindavan. Everyone is talking about it. Do you know what Krishna did this morning? You know what Krishna said? You know what he had for breakfast? You know what he did in the forest? You know what he did in the forest last night with the gopi? I mean, everybody's just talking about Krishna. The cowherd boys, they're just, you know, they're in awe coming home and telling their mother, Krishna, Mataji, Mataji, you know what Krishna did today? And everyone's just talking about Krishna. They're just amazed by this person, Krishna, you see. So, we can develop that same mood, that Brijavasi spirit. We can also live in Vrindavan, right here, right now, in Sydney, by diving into this nectarian ocean of Krishna Katha. Machchita Madgita Prana Bodhayanta Padaspadam Katayantashtamam Nityam Tas Yanti Cha. And what's the last one? Ramanti Cha, which means they enjoy like anything. Tas Yanti Cha Ramanti Cha. They enjoy, you see, they relish the nectar of hearing and chanting about Krishna, the devotees of the world, you see. They enjoy it. So, would you like to be happy? Would you like to be unlimitedly happy? Happiness beyond your wildest dreams of what happiness even means. You know? Susukam. Then become Krishna conscious. That's all you have to do. But you have to do a little tapa. A little bit. Actually, Prabhupada said, no severe tapa. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. So we just have mild penance and austerity. That's our 16 minutes. Get up early. Prabhupada recommends before sunrise, finish 16 minutes. If we're used to sleeping till the last minute, in the morning. And getting up early, that's a bit of an austerity. The body freaks out. What are you doing? And the alarm goes off. Are you crazy? You see, the body will freak out when it's not used to getting up early like that. But actually, those who are actually successful, they rise early in the morning. Even successful materialists, highly successful businessmen, they don't like to sleep. They want to be awake as much as possible, make as much money as possible. Every minute they're awake, they're scheming and scamming how to make more money. So they sleep as little as possible because they're excited by making more and more money, you see. Successful materialists don't sleep in the morning. They get up early, you see. So that same formula they use for material success, we can use for spiritual success. We should be passionate for Krishna consciousness. You get up early in the morning, you see. What is that saying? For the early bird catches the worm. Rise early in the morning. Before the sunrise, take your bath, pick up those beads, and just dive deeply into that nectarian ocean of Krishna Katha. Dive deeply, deeply. There's no distractions. One of my students said, well, can I, if the traffic is slow, can I chant some of my rounds while I'm driving the car? You know. So I said, well, if you don't pay full attention to your, when you're driving, you have to pay full attention to your driving, don't you? You'll have an accident, right? So, if you're paying full attention to your driving to prevent an accident, how attentive your japa can be while you're driving? I mean, be honest, you know. How attentive can you be to your japa if you're driving the car? If you're giving full attention to your japa, then you're a dangerous driver. I wouldn't want to be coming down the other side of the road with somebody who's fully absorbed in their japa. Hare Krishna, and they're driving at the same time. Dangerous driver. If you're doing half and half, you know, they do that sometimes. They get the beads here, and the first finger out of the bead bag around the steering wheel. Hare Krishna, Hare. And if something happened, they don't have enough power on the wheel. You know, they had one hand here and one finger here, and they couldn't, in an emergency, they wouldn't have enough power to turn the wheel properly. So therefore we recommend get those around them before you leave the house in the morning, as far as possible. You see. Because then, when you get to the office, you won't be in mundane consciousness. Brahma-bhuta prasanatmana sochati na kamshati. If you chant a really good round like you're supposed to every day, when you get to wherever you go, your doctor's clinic, your lecture at the university, your job and your IT job, or whatever you may be doing, If you've chanted 16 quality rounds, when you get to that place, you're going to be buzzing with Krishna consciousness, you see. And they'll be amazed. Who is this amazing person who's come to our, like a sun god coming into the office? And everybody gets enlivened to see you. I remember I used to work, of course I'm a vanaprastha now, traveling spiritual master, but I used to be doing the grihastha thing, working a job, you know, doing my grihastha duty. And I was working for a long distance company, so I'm doing telesales, you know. So one day I said, what is this, you know, not wearing tilak to work, and I'm tired of, you know, taking off my tilak every day before I go to work, I got to take some water and wash my tilak off. I was tired of washing off my tilak every day before going to the office. So I just wore my tilak one day to work, and I was fired up, you know. I sold like anything that day. I made a lot of money for the company that day. So my boss came in, he was just beaming, because I was one of his top salesmen. See. And he was beaming when he saw the results. How many? And he looked at my forehead and he said, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but you got to wear that every day. So if you become Krishna conscious, you'll become an asset to your corporation also. Because when you're happy, you're blissful, and your mind is peaceful, you can think really intelligently and cool-headed and make even for material things, you see. You'll be expert at your job. You'll become the most valued, rewarded employee in your company if you're really fixed in Krishna consciousness. Because a devotee becomes expert at everything. What's the proof? You think I'm just telling you to hype you into chanting your rounds? No, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the proof. He's the proof. He was the most expert employee of the British government. If they had some problem with a Hindu-Muslim riot in some village, they would send Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was expert at everything. You see. He would quell the Hindu-Muslim riot. There was a bogus incarnation, you know, trying to take over the British government and create a revolution. They would send Bhaktivinoda Thakur to solve the problem. You know that Vishakhena? That bogus incarnation? They sent Bhaktivinoda Thakur to curb him down, and he did. So if you become Krishna conscious, you'll become spiritually strong and expert in everything that you do. Expert in everything. That's one of the 26 qualities of Vaishnava, he's expert. So don't think that, you know, Hare Krishna chanting is for some people who are losers. Now this is the mantra of champions. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And what is the proof? Yatra yogeshvara Krishna, tatra parta nirdaraha, tatra shiva jayo bhuti, lirvani tirama tirama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystery, is Krishna present in his name? Of course. And wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, is Arjuna there? Of course he is. Krishna is there with all of his devotees also. Krishna means Krishna and all of his devotees. So in the Maha Mantra, Krishna and Arjuna are there. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be victory, extraordinary power, opulence, and morality. You see. So you'll become a very powerful person. You will become a victorious person. You'll be a person of the highest moral character. You see. And all opulence will be there. You won't have to worry about money. Lakshmiji is serving Narayan at every minute. So if Narayan is fully present in your heart because you've taken complete shelter of the holy name, whatever money you need will also be there. You won't have to worry about money. You'll have the highest moral character. You'll be victorious. I mean, why do people not want Krishna consciousness? They just don't understand what it is. There's so many success motivation gurus going to corporations and, you know, giving seminars, but they have no idea what is actual success. One who takes shelter of these names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, they become the topmost successful person. So we've come to motivate you all for success tonight. chant at least 16 rounds daily. If you're not, you're brand new, that we welcome you. Then at least start simple. Chant one round a day. Everybody should get the Japa Mala and start chanting. And then work your way up to 16, because when you get to 16, then you can become initiated disciple of a bona fide spiritual master. And he will personally take the responsibility to deliver you beyond the cycle of birth and death back to the spiritual sky. So it's a very, very powerful, effective system. It's given by Srila Prabhupada here in these books. Kindly read these books as much as possible and apply them to your fullest, to the fullest extent that you can. And your life will be simply wonderful. I guarantee this. I absolutely guarantee, if you'll read these books and you'll follow them carefully, your life will be simply wonderful. So, now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes?
You have a very nice email, web-based intermediate course, and often there are questions that arise from the various people around the world.
Yes, yes.
And in the course of your preaching, there may be often very heavy criticisms that may
yes,
come.
Yes.
What is the mood of the advanced devotee in receiving and handling that level of criticism? Because the average person may have negative response, emotions, anger, etc., that we all try, if we're trying to advance, to remove from our way of responding to various things that occur. So what is the manner of the response of an advanced devotee to these
one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness is enlivened by these challenges. Just like an expert kshatriya, when he meets a formidable opponent on the battlefield, he becomes super enlivened. But now I have an opportunity to really, test my kshatriya prowess. So, Prabhupada actually one time told us in Africa, he said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. Actually, the more that one defeats the challenges of the atheists, etc., the more one advances in Krishna consciousness. So one who is actually a seasoned, experienced preacher becomes super enlivened when these challenges come. He becomes very, very excited. This is a wonderful opportunity to take complete shelter of Krishna, because sometimes it's just, for mundane logic, you couldn't really figure out what to do or say. But if you let the super soul speak through you, then you get a perfect thing, you see. So one has to, those sort of situations, to force the preacher to truly become a transparent via media. My own experience in preaching was that I learned so much about the philosophy by preaching. I used to go out on a university campus for 3 years in Florida, back during the era when Mayavadi philosophy was considered the cool thing on the campus. Every day we met so many incarnations of God. And, so many people were into voidism. And these things are the buzzword of the day back in the 70s in the U.S. And we had challenges constantly being thrown at us. Like somebody said, everything's an illusion. That was their challenge. Everything is an illusion. So I was thinking, well, what if that were true? Everything's an illusion. If everything's an illusion, well, this is the best illusion. But that's on one level. But another level is, consider this. If everything is an illusion, is that statement part of everything? Yes. Everything includes everything. So the statement, everything is an illusion, is also part of everything. So if everything is an illusion, the statement that everything is an illusion is also an illusion. So it cancels itself out. It has no philosophical validity. So it's actually very exciting to be challenged by all kinds of enemies of Krishna consciousness. Because and have the responsibility to reply to them in a powerful, enlightening and compassionate manner. It's a great opportunity, actually, to take shelter of Krishna and be blessed with deeper and deeper realizations of the Vaishnava Siddhanta. So I always like to be on the front lines, because that's where the action is, you see. I always like to be in the front lines. And one year they stuck me in the kitchen and made me the head cook. It was a little tough, you know. That's all I did for a whole year. And actually, all the devotees went out preaching and led me back to the temple. I had to offer all the artis, wash all the dishes, make all the deity sweets. You know, I did everything. It was tough. I admit it was tough. But Krishna was purifying me, preparing me for more preaching in the future. For a whole year. I remember one day I was able to find a way to squeeze it. I mean, really, really squeeze it into my schedule. I walked one block and mailed a letter in the mailbox. I went, wow. Somehow I managed today to get out of the temple for 5 minutes and still get all my service covered. That's how intense it was. The only chance I had to read is when I was stirring the burfi, you know. That was my only chance to study. So sometimes Krishna puts us in different situations to purify our consciousness. But I tell you, the sweetest nectar is on the front line. That's why devotees who go out and distribute books and develop a taste for them, they're on the front line, you know. All day long, every day, they develop the sweetest taste for book distribution. They're just waiting. When can I get out again? When can I get out again in book distribution? They have this passion. Because they get such a sweet taste from being on the front line and approaching a person with a book and not knowing what to say. You know, here you are with this person who has an angry look on their face. Are you bothering me? And you're handing them a book and they look angry at you. And what are you supposed to say? And you go, and then Krishna gives you the words to say. You simply approach the people, Krishna will give you the words to say, and then you have that direct connection with the Paramatma. That's why devotees who get a taste for frontline preaching, it's the sweetest taste. What does Krishna say? There's no servant in this world more dear to me than the preacher, nor will there be anyone more dear. So every devotee should find a way to engage in preaching activities. Because your Krishna consciousness accelerates like anything when you do that. That's why I travel and preach all over the world, even though it's difficult sometimes, physically, to be traveling like this. But it gives me, it's an intoxicating thing, actually, to have so many preaching opportunities. I mean, you know, you have to go to a different place and adjust to, you know, all the physical things, you know, meals, laundry, shower, you know, so many things, problems, just to get the... Sometimes it's very, very difficult situations for just taking your bath in the morning, you know. And it's botheration, these things. Or what to speak of some of the nightmares that happen when we're traveling, you know. You go to the airport with a confirmed ticket, and the manager of British Airways comes out and says, we won't accept your ticket. You have to buy another one. Buy a second ticket for the same flight. You know, things happen. The austerities of traveling and preaching are completely mitigated by the wonderful nectar of having so many opportunities to have to depend on Krishna and come through on His behalf as His messenger, delivering His potent message that's just suitable for that time, place, and situation. So I hope that answered your question somewhat. That was a nice question. Thank you for that question. So, any other questions?
What's the difference in matter and spirit? Difference in matter and spirit.
What is the difference in matter and spirit?
Yes. In one sense, there's actually no difference. It's due to our perception, our misperception. Because everything is the energy of Krishna. Yeah, we shouldn't have two conversations. There's no talking aloud during, no whispering aloud during the lecture. In fact, maybe one of them can sit over here. You can come sit with me. I'm going to give you a special seat. Come on. You sit right here with me.
Please go there.
Yeah. You come here. I'm going to give you a special seat of honor, and I'm giving you a flower garland. Come and sit here. You're a good boy. I'm so happy you're here. All right. So, material energy and spiritual energy is due to our conditioned vision. In other words, Krishna sees everything as spiritual energy. From his vision, everything is spiritual energy. But because of our enviousness of the Supreme Lord, we are under the this material energy becomes a reality for us, you see. It's a reality. Just like I give an example. When I was preaching some years ago in Oklahoma, I did a program at the federal penitentiary. Every Saturday we went in and we had a program with the inmates in the chapel. So for the prisoners, you see, that gate that I easily passed in and out of was, you know, the end of the world. That's where their world ended, and that was it. That was an impenetrable barrier that they could not cross. But for me, I just went in and out that little gate, you see. So for us prisoners right now, we're imprisoned within the cycle of birth and death. The material energy is there. It's what's keeping us imprisoned in birth and death. But for a liberated soul like Narada Muni, you see, it's nothing for him. For him, there is no material energy. He comes and goes in the material and spiritual worlds that he so desires. Just like I went in and out of the prison every Saturday morning with no problem, you see. So that material energy means when one becomes envious of God, then he becomes captured by what is known as the three modes of material nature. Sattva-gun, Rajagun, Tamagun. But from the perspective of a liberated soul, there is no, for him, there is practically speaking, nothing of the material nature. He sees everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashati tashaham na pranashami satchamena pranashati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. A person who has that vision, he doesn't experience the material energy like you and I do. So. For us, the material energy is like an impenetrable barrier, you know. Those modes of nature is like a wall in a prison, you know. But for the liberated soul, he sees Krishna everywhere and he sees everything in Krishna. So, from our perspective, the material nature means three things: temporality, ignorance, and misery. Asat, achit, and nirananda. And the spiritual energy means the opposite: sat, chit, ananda. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So for us prisoners of the modes of nature, the difference is asat, achit, nirananda on the material side, and satchitananda on the spiritual side. That's the difference. But once you become a liberated soul, those distinctions go away. You live in eternal bliss and knowledge, whether you're here in Sydney or whether you're in Goloka Vrindavan, it won't matter. That's why we're encouraging you to chant these 16 rounds, purify your consciousness, enter into the spiritual pastimes of Krishna, right here, even during your ordinary life in this material world, you can enter into that transcendental dimension of Krishna, pure Krishna bhakti, and feel how actually Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So that's something we can experience right here, right now, as soon as our hearts become completely pure. We will see Krishna right in front of our very eyes. We will see Krishna. So next question. So, everybody satisfied? Yes?
Yes, Prabhupada, I've got a question. Recently there was Nirjala Ekadashi, right? And I was really struggling with the concept of not having water and not having grains for the whole day, even though I knew that it's one Ekadashi in the whole year, whereas where refraining from grains and refraining from water really helps you. There was this preacher who asked me, how did you go with Nirjala Ekadashi? I said, well, I couldn't pull it through. And then he inquired about my husband, and I said, he could pull it through.
Yeah.
He said, oh, don't worry about it, Mataji. Do you know in Vedas it's written that women struggle with the concept of renunciation?
And with what concept?
Renunciation.
Renunciation. Women struggle with it?
Women struggle with renunciation.
Okay,
I did not find it quite true, because if I look at...
But Mataji, are you a woman?
Yes, I am.
Wait a minute. What makes you think that you're a woman? I don't understand.
That's what my question was.
How could you possibly be a woman?
That's what my question was.
One of my god sisters asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is it true that women are less intelligent? Prabhupada said, only if you think you're a woman. So... you think you're a woman, you will have more difficulty renouncing it. But you realize, I'm not a woman. This is just a covering. This is just my chadar, you know. This is my chadar. I can wear my chadar. I can take it off. I'm still me. So right now you have a female chadar on. That's it. You see? So if you think you're a woman, yeah, you will have a hard time renouncing. But I think I'm a man, I'll also have a hard time renouncing. You just got to stop thinking that you're a woman and realize you're an eternal spiritual being, and this body is the covering. You've been a man and a woman. You've been male, you've been female. Again, and for millions of times you've been a male, and millions of times you've been a female. So why would you think this particular covering you have in this lifetime is you? It doesn't make sense. You have to kick out this false concept that I am a woman. And then you will have no difficulty renouncing. As long as you think you're a woman, you're going to have a tough time, I can tell you right now. You'll have a very difficult time renouncing as long as you think you're a woman. Very difficult.
But why so? Why so, Maharaj? If I have a family, and if I cannot do the service to the Lord, but I'm bringing up my children to be Krishna conscious, I think I'm serving towards Krishna. That's my devotional service.
That's very good.
I cannot be separated from my child, but I've created a child who's Krishna conscious.
That's all right.
So why would you say that?
No, you can say I have a body of a woman. Therefore, because of this body, I have certain duties to Krishna. That doesn't mean you are a woman. You understand the distinction? It's a fact. As a soul in a woman's body, who mothered certain children, you do have an obligation, according to the Bhagavatam, to make sure that they go back to home, back to Godhead. You do have a duty as a mother. The fact is, you are in that role of a mother. But that doesn't mean that you are a woman. It just means now you are a spirit soul with a woman's body. So because of that, you have certain duties assigned to you in this lifetime. It doesn't mean you, the Atma, are a woman. You, the Atma, have a woman's body in this lifetime. Because of that, you have certain duty and responsibility to act as a mother for your kid. You see, you were a father in previous lifetimes. So now, because of this body, you have certain duties. That's assigned to you. That doesn't mean you are a female. You understand the difference? Yeah, you must do your mother's duty. That's dharma. Shayan Sadharma Vigana Paramanats Panushtita. Shayan Svabhava Niyatam Karma Karavan Svabhava Niyatam Karma. Forget the last line. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though you may do it imperfectly, than accept another's occupation and do it perfectly. So you have a duty as a mother. So you do that mother's duty in the service of Krishna. And that will be your perfection. You see, Arjuna had the body of a warrior. So Krishna, we're not saying to renounce your duties as a mother, we're saying simply renounce the conception that I am a female. That's what we're saying. Arjuna was not told to renounce his duty as a Kshatriya. The spirit soul is not any one of these varnas and ashrams. The spirit soul is not kshatriya, not Brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. That's simply, that is within the material existence. So just as Arjuna, even though the spirit's, the Atma is not kshatriya, just as Arjuna is using his bodily designation, accepting that as a duty in the service of Krishna, you should do the same like Arjuna. As Arjuna acted as a kshatriya for Krishna's service because he had the body of a kshatriya, you in the same way should use your female body in the service of Krishna, because just like Arjuna used his body, the designation in Krishna's service, you should also use your bodily designation. But doesn't mean you are that body. If you think you're a woman, then what are you going to do at the time of death? You're going to try to hang on to your woman's body? No. This was the duty I had in this lifetime, to act as a mother, because I had that body. And that's how you have to see it. You understand? It's very important you see that distinction. Very, very important thing. Women are meant to be philosophers in our Krishna consciousness movement. Because we are in the Kunti Sampradaya, you see. She's a great philosopher.
That's right.
Whenever you get the Buddha, just read the teachings of King Kunti. And you know what, you understand how to be a woman, Krishna conscious woman. You see. Yeah. Anything else? So everyone's totally satisfied now. Now, how many people who were not chanting 16 rounds will now agree to start chanting 16 rounds after hearing this lecture? Or was my lecture a complete failure? Nobody's going to commit now to... Oh, maybe it was a failure. Maybe I shouldn't come back anymore. If my lectures are a failure.
If we get your association more and more, we'll be more and more motivated. I just read this question, the one I asked you yesterday on the internet. It's one of the frequently asked questions in the Bombay temple site. So I really enjoyed it with my family, and I thought we hear from you again.
So nobody is... How many people are chanting some rounds every day, but not 16? Let's see the show of hands.
Put up your hands, please.
All right. How many of you are willing to increase the number of your rounds starting tomorrow? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, I feel 6, 7, 8. I feel better that it was worth coming all the way here. I didn't waste the trip on the... I didn't waste my airfare coming here. Thank God. I feel a little relief now. At least I had some impact. That's good. That's very good. So, I guess that's it. We should stop here.
Narsimha prayer.
Huh?
Narsimha prayer.
Nishinya prayer. Is there a, bring the harmon- no, give me, is there a drum? Yeah, I like to do Nishinya prayer. Yeah?
Question, okay. There's the idea or approach of Yukta Vairagya, where we surrender everything in Krishna's service. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we can falsely use that goal and manipulate it in our mind to really satisfy ourselves. So, yeah. How does the devotee get out of that mentality?
Desham tatata yuktanam vajatam pratipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te. For those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me, which means they also have the understanding to distinguish between genuinely engaging everything in Krishna's service and between that and in the name of using everything in Krishna to actually use things for my own sense enjoyment. They will have the ability to distinguish. Krishna will give them that intelligence. And that's because in the beginning we don't have that ability to distinguish, therefore we require a spiritual master. He can tell us. You're going too far. We've seen sometimes devotees fell down because of it. I had one god brother, he thought, well, I like to make Krishna conscious movies. You know, that's a nice thing, Krishna conscious movies. So he said, well, I'm going to watch different movies, you know, Hollywood movies, to get ideas. And he got totally caught up in watching Hollywood movies. And he forgot Krishna consciousness. He got carried away. So, yeah, one has to be careful. One has to be very careful. When you start using material things in Krishna's service, you have to be careful. The razor's edge. Especially that straight edge razor. One little slip and you can cut your throat. So one has to be very careful. One requires a bona fide spiritual master that you fully take shelter of. One requires the guidance of senior devotees, siksha gurus, who can help you stay on track, not get carried away. Alright? So, give me the drum, we'll do some Nrisimha prayers. Namaste Narasimhaya.
Namaste Narasimhaya.
Dala dala jadayane.
Dala dala jadayane.
Iram ya kashi por vaksha. Shilatam jana jalai.
Shilatam jana jalai.
Icho nasinga parato nasinga.
Icho nasinga parato nasinga.
Yato yato yamitato nasinga.
Yato yato yamitato nasinga.
Nasinga madin sharanam prapade.
Nasinga madin sharanam prapade.
Kavakaro kamala vade naka madhasinga. Dalita hiranyakashipu.
Thank you.
Prabhupada.